The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Then we are beginning to wrap up January. So much to talk about today. Thanks for being a part of the program. Some great guests standing by. And let's talk a little bit about what perhaps you have missed over these past couple of days. Some hoops notes. Aaliyah Boston sets South Carolina double-double record. She is one of the premier, well, she is the premier player in college basketball. And a huge week ahead for the South Carolina women. They've got one Thursday night that everyone will be talking about. Nate Oates says he doesn't care about rankings. Well, they're number two in the country. Some people believe they should be number one. And I can certainly understand why when you consider Purdue is ahead of them. A nasty loss a few weeks ago. They're ahead of Houston, which lost. Tennessee, number four. Seeing Alabama and Tennessee in top five in basketball seems reminiscent of football. South Carolina in the women's poll and LSU not far away. There's talk of a federal law, NCAA oversight. Be careful what you wish for. Michael McCann with that piece in Sportico. And if you want to know more, you don't have to read Sportico. You can if you want. He'll be with us in about an hour. Stetson Bennett wins another award. He wins the Manning Award. That award does take into account postseason play, so you can understand why he was victorious. Hendon Hooker is doing better, but not good enough to play in the Senior Bowl. He will take part in activities as he prepares the next chapter of his life. And Saturday, were you watching Twitter when this story broke and you said to yourself, what? I thought he just took the job. Ed Reed, Hall of Famer, out at Bethune-Cookman before he even moved in. William Roden will join us later on. And this from Blake Topmeyer in USA Today. Nick Saban's problems don't only include Kirby Smart. They may include that fella from Notre Dame who cashed in on a 10-win season. Well, now you don't come in here talking about Nick Saban like that. Who is this Blake Topmeyer guy and the nerve of him to say that Nick Saban has more problems than just Kirby Smart? Blake Topmeyer joins us, of course. Blake, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And let's talk a little bit about the world of Nick Saban right now and where is he?
Well, yeah, for all the conversation and chatter around Georgia and how Georgia has surpassed Alabama as the overlords of college football, and that's true, I mean, I think Nick Saban's problems in getting Alabama back to its place of prominence start with LSU. I mean, LSU was a point better on the scoreboard than Alabama was this past season, and Brian Kelly has the accelerator pressed down when it comes to the transfer portal, and he did this last year as well. He was one of the best at rating the transfer portal last offseason, along with Lane Kiffin and Lincoln Riley. He's done incredibly well in the portal this offseason. He returns two quarterbacks who are more proven than anyone on Alabama's roster. LSU brings back nine offensive starters by my count. I mean, what a luxury. So you got a seasoned offense coming back, and he's adding talent left and right on defense out of the portal. I mean, I think LSU is assembling a real force on that side of the division. I think LSU should be the early favorite in the West. I mean, they're going to have an early top 10 showdown against Florida State in a neutral site game to get things going. But, yeah, I think Nick Saban's problems at Alabama and challenges at Alabama extend beyond what's going on at Georgia right now.
Blake, I'll try not to go hyperactive, apoplectic. You fill in the word. You just said something really interesting. And I know you said it because I read your piece, but I'll sound old school here at the sake of just saying what a lot of people say. How can you bet against Nick Saban, knowing everything that we know about him. And adding to that, you know, he's got a good team coming back and losing a lot of key players, but he also has the best recruiting class in the country coming in. So you're telling us that after all that, he can't find a way to beat Brian Kelly, and the game is in Tuscaloosa this year.
That's true. That is an advantage, the game being in Tuscaloosa. But I think, you know, the recruiting class is an important thing to note, and I've been on here on your show before pointing out that Alabama is not approaching the abyss. It's not going to tumble off the cliff when it's signing number one ranked recruiting classes, when it's signing, I believe, 15 top 100 prospects, according to some services. But those guys are going to be freshmen this year, and Brian Kelly has proven talented upperclassmen, including his quarterback, and he's adding more of them in the transfer portal. Recruiting and developing high school talent is still the best way to build a program. I don't think anyone's disputing that. However, recruiting is just one bite at the apple now. How you supplement your recruiting classes with the transfer portal is going to continue to become a bigger and bigger deal in college football, and we are seeing LSU do that very, very well. If you look at this past season, one of the things Brian Kelly needed to overhaul at LSU was its defensive backfield. And he was very active in the portal this time last year in signing cornerbacks and safeties as transfers. And five of the top six defensive backs at LSU this past season were transfers. And they played a key role in LSU winning the West. And now you look at what he's doing in the portal this offseason. He knows he has needs to address on defense, and he's getting proven talent out of the portal to address those needs. So I think it's great to sign number one ranked recruiting classes. I think that will position your program well for the long term. But here in the short term, I think when you look at what these two programs have on paper, and when you compare what LSU has added to the portal with what Alabama has added, which is not very much, they've just added a couple of bodies. I mean, I think what you have in front of you is LSU is a stronger team right now. Now, maybe some of those young guys flourish very, very quickly at Alabama. We know these are talented guys. But I just think when you look at what they bring back, LSU brings back more. What they've added out of the portal, LSU's added more.
Talking to Blake Topmeyer. Blake, one more thing on the Alabama situation. We don't know who the quarterback is going to be. Everyone thinks they do. But how important do you think it is that he is going through a pretty big transition on his coaching staff? He will have a new defensive coordinator, and he will have a new offensive coordinator.
Well, I don't think that's inconsequential. However, I think if you could offer Alabama back either of its coordinators or its quarterback back, I think that would be about a five-second conversation, if that, right? I think they'd say, we'll take Bryce Young back for one more season, and we'll live with the transition elsewhere. And we've seen Nick Saban transition coordinators before, and for the most part, he's been able to weather that pretty well. But I think the loss of his quarterback is the most consequential thing, right? I mean, I think, you know, we saw for the past two seasons that there are a very short list of quarterbacks that you would rather have engineering your offense than Bryce Young. And that's how, frankly, that's how Alabama has made its living the last several seasons. When you go from Mac Jones and Tua Tagovailoa and Bryce Young, I mean, it's been a great run of quarterbacks at Alabama. It has not had that elite defense that it used to win with, that it won with Kirby Smart as defensive coordinator, with Jeremy Pruitt as defensive coordinator. Since the departure of Jeremy Pruitt for Tennessee after the 2017 season, whether it was just because of the quarterback change or not, the coordinator change or not, Alabama has not been functioning at the same elite level defensively. And in some seasons it hasn't had to because it's had world-class quarterback talents. It's losing that in Bryce Young, and it has a couple of question marks at the position, whether it be Jalen Milroe or Ty Simpson. We don't know. Two talented guys, unproven guys. I think they're a bigger question than it was when you were going from Mac Jones to Bryce Young. It was no surprise, I think, to any of us that Bryce Young became a Heisman caliber talent at Alabama. I think there's more of a question about the transition at that position now. So I don't want to downplay the exit of the coordinators, but it may have been time for a change at those coordinator spots for Alabama. I think if you could keep your quarterback, certainly they would have loved to have done that.
Blake, and speaking of the coordinators, there's been a lot of speculation, and I don't know truth from fiction on this, but it does appear that Saban is looking at or has looked at Jeremy Pruitt. You covered Jeremy Pruitt when you were in Knoxville. You've written volumes on that subject. Can you see or could you see him returning to the SEC in a position like defensive coordinator at Alabama right now?
I think the threat of a show cause makes that hire difficult. It doesn't make it impossible, as you know, but some people get confused. Some people think, well, a show cause means you can't employ someone, or a show cause would mean you can't hire someone. That's not true. You can employ someone with a show cause. However, you stomach the penalties and the restrictions that come with them, which if we were to look at the Jeremy Pruitt situation, I don't think it would be a far reach to say that Jeremy Pruitt may encounter some severe recruiting restrictions when all this reaches a finish line, whenever that may be, with the NCAA as this drags on. So I do think the threat of a show cause, and the NCAA has pointed to the possibility of a show cause in its notice of allegations, I think that makes a hire more difficult, but it doesn't make it impossible, and it doesn't make it impossible to add him up to your staff in some capacity, whether that be as a defensive coordinator or some other role. But I'll say this, I think what Nick Saban has to get right first and foremost in his defensive coordinator is getting someone to oversee his defense. We can talk about recruiting all we want, but there's a lot of guys that can recruit to Alabama and have done so successfully. And as we've mentioned, Alabama just signed the number one ranked recruiting class. So that has to be a piece of any hire, right? You have to consider how someone recruits. But I would think first and foremost, you want someone to come in there and run your defense and run it well. Jeremy Pruitt did that very, very well for a couple seasons as Nick Saban's defensive coordinator. Say what you will about Pruitt as a head coach, and I've said plenty, he was unfit and unqualified for that role. However, as a coordinator, his resume is pretty robust, and it stretches beyond Alabama. Now, he was succeeding with some very talented rosters at Alabama and Georgia and Florida State, but the guy did it very, very well at multiple schools. And I think if that threat of a show cause was not in the mix, I would think Jeremy Pruitt would be a very, very appealing candidate for that opening. I do think the show cause, it does change the equation, but as I said, it does not ultimately prevent you from making a hire. It just would, you better be prepared to stomach the potential penalty.
Yeah, Blake, let me ask you this before you go. So let's say this thing comes in one of these days and he does get a show caused. It could be for however long a period of time. What does that mean? If Alabama has already hired him, what would that mean to them?
Well, it depends what the language of the show cause is. And you can, if it says that he can't be involved in your recruiting operation, then it would mean exactly that, right? Jeremy Pruitt can be your coach, but he can't be involved in your recruiting operation. If it says he's got to serve, you know, a so many game suspension before he could coach, then you could show cause to say that why that should not be the case. Otherwise, you have to live by the penalties that come with that. So, you know, again, there is some mystery as to what the actual language of this is going to be and what the penalties would be. But I would think you better be prepared for some recruiting restrictions around that individual if you were to hire him. And some people may say, well, do you want to employ a coordinator who would have recruiting restrictions? Again, I would make the point that there's a lot of guys on staff that recruit. You better have a coordinator who can run your defense. But you're either going to have to show cause to get out of those penalties or to show to the NCAA why that person should not be subject to those penalties, or you're going to have to stomach those restrictions and penalties that come whenever this thing reaches the finish line. That's the other thing going on here. This investigation started more than 2 years ago. Tennessee's had the notice of allegations since the summer, but we've not reached the sanction stage. And in the meantime, Jeremy Pruitt's career's kind of been stuck in a two-year purgatory.
Great stuff. Blake, thank you very, very much. Always with the latest and the best information available. Blake Topmeyer from USA Today. We hit the break here, and your phone calls right around the corner.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
William C. Roden, the legendary author and former columnist at the New York Times, now with Anscape on the debacle that is known as Ed Reed's short tenure at Bethune-Cookman. Michael McGann in Sportico on some NCAA matters, and we will talk to both of them coming up here shortly. Let's begin with you right now. John, first up from Louisville. Hello, John.
Hey, good afternoon. Nice opening interview with Blake. Paul, did we even mention that Charles White had passed away a few weeks ago?
I don't think it made the air, no.
Yeah, well, yeah. Thought I'd bring that up. And I also see that a Georgia wide receiver, Thomas, has been arrested, probably suspended from Georgia already. Transfer portal.
Yeah, and yeah, arrival. As far as White, he's a former Heisman winner from SC, played in the 70s, late 70s. Great player, by the way. As far as the White situation, yeah, I mean, that just came out today. Don't know really any more details than has already been published. I always tend to, like, put a hand up on stories like this and say, let's wait until the other shoe drops.
Absolutely agree. Hey, great calls last week. Jim was Jim. The legend is still number one and champion. Larry let us know that he gets up for the show with Viagra instead of a Bud Light,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I thought that was – I'm surprised I didn't get more media coverage that Larry takes a Viagra to make his call every day. I mean, there are a lot of various uses for that pill. I think there's blood pressure connotations, there's some of the obvious connotations, but never before have I heard you had to take a pill to call in this show.
Absolutely. So the angry bulldog from Columbus is still in timeout. Handsome Joe.
Yeah,
I
can't quote him specifically. He has said on social media that he is never calling the show again. So I guess that means he
quit. We'll hear from. Yeah, he'll be back late in the week, I'm sure. Handsome Joe is sulking, so he's now no-show Joe, right?
Handsome Joe is still, he has been out for about 2 months. He got upset about something that was never really directed toward him. We had to cut him off because he went over the certain codes and conducts of the company. He thought he heard some things that I don't think he really heard. We've invited him to come back, but as of this hour, Handsome Joe, a no-show.
We miss him. Jerome's wife has him in lockdown.
Jerome is still in COVID protocol.
Yeah. And finally, the curmudgeon of Columbus, Ohio is in federal witness program till the next game, right?
Yeah, he is. He is MIA, and he's in the Jerome under the Jerome heading of my team lost, therefore I don't have enough guts to call the Feinbaum show.
Absolutely, and I have to tell you, and it was slightly embarrassing, but the Iman call was somewhat awkward. It kind of reminded me of two spouses at the mediation table for a divorce, where the one spouse won't shut up, keeps throwing insults, interrupts you when you're talking. Did you get that feeling?
Iman is a man of many colors these days. He had a really – I thought he had a rough – early part of the week. He made a recovery at the end with some some mic drops. But the one thing about Iman that I respect, like him or not, day to day, he always comes back.
He's a top 10 caller. So let's talk about who's in the hot seat, Paul. Obviously, Bill, and I'm only restricting it, that is, to the SEC.
Yeah.
Obviously, Billy Napier is. And frankly, I feel personally that the quarterback recruit dropping out made it easier for him, because if you have a $13 million recruit on your team, it's going to be a tough call for a coach. But the teams I have concern for, as far as moving in the wrong direction or trending low, are both Arkansas and Mississippi and maybe Missouri.
Yeah, I mean, I'm concerned about Arkansas, and I don't know all the details yet. But, you know, he's gone through a pretty big turnover on his coaching staff. He's still got the quarterback. He's coming off of I think it's a bad year. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. And, you know, what does Sam Pittman do to come back? Missouri, that's a hard one to wrap your arms around. That program is underperformed now. And, you know, the jokes are not as funny from the coach. He did get a contract extension, though. And remember, don't forget
why.
That. Have not heard an explanation from the athletic director.
And here's the biggest concern. We talk about team culture vis-a-vis the transfer portal, NIL, and big recruiting classes where you have pay for play. I can't think of a worse team to build a culture under than Jimbo, Bobby Petrino, and DJ Durkin. You know, DJ, as you know, was fired for a bad culture over
at
there
Maryland,
at Maryland.
Yeah.
You know what happened. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I don't see them recovering Texas A&M with those three clowns.
John, you would be surprised what college programs can do. Hey, thanks for the call. Do appreciate it. Dustin in Oklahoma.
Good morning from Tulsa, Paul. How are you, bud?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, man. Did you have a good weekend?
Yes, sir.
What'd you get up to? Anything fun?
I watched a lot of NFL football.
Yeah, me too. I'm thinking the Cowboys, maybe they should have taken some Viagra before the game last night.
Yeah, I'm continue to be impressed with the way that Jerry Jones has mismanaged that franchise now for going on about 30 years.
It's pretty terrible. But I wanted to call and tell you about something I wanted to call and tell you about something I
wasn't laughing at my own joke. I was laughing at Randy laughing at me.
It's okay. I, as a Razorback and a Cowboys fan, I'm long-suffering, so it's okay. Nobody offended over here. I wanted to tell you about something that happened on Friday after the show I thought was kind of interesting. I watched a little bit of the Friday Night Heights,
you know,
the gymnastics.
Of course.
And I thought, well, the Razorbacks or, you know, the Gymbacks or whatever they call our ladies, they're down there. They're you know, got a match with Ole Miss. And as I was watching it, you know, I was watching these girls and these coaches from all different walks of life. You know, you got black girls, white girls, Asian, Hispanic, all everybody's represented and there. And they're, man, they're high-fiving and they're hugging and they're loving on each other. And I'm thinking, you know, is there anything really better than sports and athletics? I mean, it's the great equalizer. It doesn't care about where you came from. It doesn't care about the color of your skin. It just cares about whether you can do the job that's in front of you, whether you can be a part of the team. And it really just brings a lot of people together. And I'm not trying to have too big of a kumbaya moment here, but it was really nice to watch that and think, you know, if it weren't for sports, if it weren't for athletics, if it weren't for these things that some people see as a waste of time, maybe we wouldn't have had as many advances or as quickly as we have in this country. I think that sports is not only not a waste of time, I think it's a great boon to us because it's an equalizer that levels the field and really gives everybody a chance.
No, Duncan, thank you. It's proven to have done that. We've chronicled, and actually we have a guest coming up here, I think next week, that will speak on that very subject at one of the most racially segregated places in the country at the time, what being on an athletic team did. We'll take a break here. We have had a busy first 30 minutes. We appreciate you being here, and we'll come right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
It's 2023 now.
We're back. And Matt, really? Who's up next?
Hey, brother, how you doing, man? Paul, you there?
Yes, sir, Matt.
I don't know if you hear me. Look, I'm sorry I didn't call the show. I've been sick, man. I'm just starting to get better. I apologize to you, brother. But I want to talk about Aiden's basketball team first. I watched that game versus Kentucky. I wish you could have won it, Paul. But, hey, we're still having a pretty good year. I want your thoughts on that. Before you give me your thoughts, I want to say something about that call that we said about Jimbo. Look, did Jimbo Sivers' system suck last year? Yes, it did. But the one thing about Bobby Petrino, nobody wants to take consideration. I know you are, Paul. Wherever he's gone, he develops quarterbacks. And he gets a quarterback in the NFL who's still playing. The one on the Ravens and his offensive system has worked. We didn't bring him in to be a saint or a Boy Scout. If he gets an off the field, yeah, they're going to fire him. They're not going to put up with that. But wherever he's gone, he's developed quarterbacks, and his system has worked. 10 years of defensive coordinator, DJ Durkin, he worked his talent that wasn't good, and he turned that defense around. And what's your thoughts on that in the basketball team, Paul?
Yeah, Matt, I agree. I frankly think A&M is going to be a lot better this year. And you can joke, well, they can't be any worse. Well, they can be a little worse. But I think this is a move by Jimbo Fisher that shows a little bit of maturity in accepting that he doesn't have all the answers or maybe any of them. And he's bringing in somebody who is quite skilled. I mean, you're right. I mean, if we went around to every school in the conference or in college football and started judging their ranking based on character, we would have a long conversation here about some of the top teams around. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Dan is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Paul. I just want to tell you, you're looking sharp today. Are you hanging out with Roman Harper? Did you go shopping with him this weekend?
Roman felt so sorry for me that he took me to Goodwill yesterday. And this is what he had dropped off a few things the day before, and he got them out of the heap for me.
Well, I believe he can definitely do it. Ain't no doubt about it. Let me ask you something, Paul. What about Stetson Bennett?
Well, I think what we saw last night might help Stetson Bennett. And some of you are saying, what did we see? Well, we saw a fourth-round quarterback start for one team and a last-round quarterback start for the other in the NFC divisional game. And I think that indicates to me that there is a place for Stetson Bennett in the NFL. Now, who will take the chance? Will somebody take a chance in earlier rounds as opposed to in late rounds? Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Willie B. is up next in South Carolina.
Hey, Paul. I was calling on that same topic. I was watching Purdy, who I'd never heard of, that played for Iowa State Cyclones. I watched him beat up on Dak, and I think he's outplayed Trey Young, the heralded, first-round pick. And I was – the similarities between – Stetson Bennett and the Heisman winner from Southern Cal. And I just can't help but think you missed that one. And I'm wondering if you know, what statistics you were looking at, and why you voted for the other guy, when most Heisman winners are associated with championship teams, and they're the difference. They're the reason those teams get to the playoffs and win national championships, let alone back-to-back national championships.
Yeah, but Willie, what you have to do with a Heisman vote is you can't let what happened last year figure into it, and you can't also let happen what's about to happen. Remember, the Heisman ballot was due on December 3rd. It wasn't due on January 10th. So the majority of the people voted for Caleb Williams. I'm not using that as an excuse. I looked at the people in college football, and I thought he made the biggest difference. So I'm not apologizing for my vote. I put Stetson Bennett in the top three. That was higher than a lot of people put Stetson Bennett. That's where I thought he deserved to be. Grady is up next. Good afternoon, Grady.
Paul, a long time since I talked to you.
Thank you.
Been doing well.
Thank you.
But did South Carolina ever get an offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I think they did. I'm trying to remember. His name escapes me at the moment, but I'll pass it along to you in a second.
Okay. And another thing, how do you think South Carolina done in the transfer portal coming up this coming year?
Well, they filled some needs. I think they just got a commitment from one of the top players in the country for the next class. I think what Shane Beamer is doing is phenomenal. He is recruiting very well. He's made South Carolina a big attraction. And frankly, it was the Tennessee game, but I think the Clemson game was the one that really put him over the top. Thank you for the call. Much appreciated. Let's check out Chris next in Georgia. Hello, Chris.
Paul, how are you? First time caller.
Thank you very much.
Well, Paul, first, I love the show. Two, just a couple of quick thoughts. One, SEC was better this year because Tennessee was better, and I loved it. Can they sustain what they've done? Tennessee won. Two, what does defensive coordinator look like for Alabama next year? What does the defensive landscape look like for Alabama? And three, living up here in Gainesville near Athens, some recent tragedies with the University of Georgia team. How does Kirby Smart deal with that? So, Paul, any of those, but love your show and love you. Thank you.
Thank you. I think Kirby Smart deals with it the same way he deals with everything else, with great compassion, with leadership, with faith. And I think that's how he handled the unspeakable tragedy a week ago and how he's handled a couple of difficult matters since then. Tennessee's success is very sustainable. Because they have a foundation there. They also have a great program. This isn't some fly-by-night operation where you bring in a coach and he changes everything and you wonder, there's no way this is going to work. Tennessee football has withstood the test of time. As far as Alabama, I think it's still a mystery. I think Nick Saban would like to hire Jeremy Pruitt. As you heard from Blake Topmeyer, that may not be the easiest thing to do. There's a sense that the Schumann thing is not going to happen. That's a sense. I'm just telling you what, as you try to read the tea leaves, and it could change by the end of the hour. Todd Grantham is there. You heard Chris Lowe say the other day that he could be elevated or he could remain in the similar spot. I think Nick Saban still has another week before the recruiting is over, and I think he'll have a decision very quickly after that. Thank you very, very much for the call. Tyrone is up next in Pittsburgh. Hello, Tyrone.
Hey, Paul. How's it going today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I'm not big on conspiracy theories, but I got a theory, and I'm usually right on when it comes to certain things.
Okay.
Let me ask you this: isn't Auburn's job considered better than Colorado?
Absolutely.
Okay. This is my theory. I think Deion Sanders is going to get that Alabama job after Nick Saban retires. I look at it like this right here. One of the reasons I think, and I don't have no inside knowledge, he didn't go to Auburn is because if he go to Auburn, he can't come to Alabama after that. Okay. That's one thing. The next thing is, he did like a 3-year contract. honestly, I think that's around the time that Nick is probably going to hang it up. Not just that, I also feel that if you're going to take a lesser job, you aren't. I still think Deion could have got a bigger job than that. But the next level is to go to a job like Georgia, Ohio State, Texas. You want a big job. And the biggest job out there is Alabama. So I think after 3 years, if one of those major colleges like that don't get him, I think he's in Alabama. Now, only I know you have a lot of inside knowledge. And on top of that, I would think after all these little commercials him and Nick do, I think they ain't talked about it. I really do.
Tyrone, you may be right about that. I think they are friends. I know they talked to each other a week ago in Los Angeles. I don't know if that's that. I can't. I don't know whether to agree or disagree with your conspiracy theory. I think in the end he didn't get any other offers. Auburn didn't offer him the job. If they had, I think he would have taken it. And I don't think it would have necessitated him being concerned about Alabama one way or the other. I think he has a chance to. I think the expectations at Colorado are significantly lower. I think if he can go out there and prove that he can handle one of the worst programs in college football, he'll certainly put himself in a position to get any job he wants, including Alabama. We'll take a break. More to come. More right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. LT is up next in South Carolina. Hello, LT.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
First-time caller, but long-time fan. I remember reading your columns back in the Birmingham Post-Herald many, many years ago.
Thank you.
But speaking of hard-hitting journalism, the Atlanta Constitution reported today that the fatal car crash with the two Georgia football players, they have video of them leaving a strip club with the two Georgia staffers. And those staffers report to Kirby Smart. And I guess my question is, do you see a scenario playing out where Kirby Smart could actually lose his job over this?
LT, I'm glad you asked me that because we were talking about that story, and there's a lot of debate. The editor of the AJC or the sports editor or somebody I saw today wrote a clarification about why we reported this. I think you know me going back in time. I'm all for full disclosure. I'm all for telling the entire story. But I do ask this very serious question: what does it matter? What difference did it make? That all four of them went to a strip club before that accident. There's no straight line to what happened. There's no correlation, and I think it was completely and totally unnecessary to report until it can be shown that it had a direct result. As far as your question about whether these people had reported or not to Kirby Smart, as far as I know, it is not against the law to go into a strip club. And I think the connotation that by going in there, it somehow affected what happened next was very shoddy and sleazy. And quite frankly, I was offended by it as somebody who believes in the First Amendment. I feverishly defended it, and I believe in disclosure. I think you better be able to connect the dots here, and quite frankly, I don't think the AJC did that.
I think the only thing I would respond to that is that one of the football players is 20 years old, so he was likely underage in that establishment.
Well, I will add, LT, I don't know what the state law is in Georgia, and even if that was true, so what?
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.